He says, verse 3 now, "For I testify again to every man that's circumcised that he's debtor to do the whole law." You see, you can't just draw out of the law what you like, and especially they like to leave out the penalties and a great deal of the detail. I'm delighted today that I'm not under law. I'm not under law at all. And the liberty that I have in Christ. Now, I must confess I have a problem of pleasing Him always. I'm sure that my conduct always doesn't please Him, but He's the one I'm trying to please. It's not following some legal system. Now he says, "For I testify again to every man that's circumcised. He's debtor to do the whole law." Now listen to him. "Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you're fallen from grace." Now what he's saying is this. That if you, having been saved by trusting Christ, if you now are coming down to a low level and living by law, then he says you've fallen from grace. And that's what falling from grace actually means. It, I think, is something that is greatly misunderstood today. I can remember when I was a student in a denominational seminary, why one theologian, he says that falling from grace is the doctrine which the Methodists believe and the Presbyterians practice. Well, I'm sure that most of them practice it today. Actually, it doesn't mean falling into some open sin or careless conduct, and by so doing that you forfeit your salvation and you have to be saved all over again. It has no reference to that, of course, at all. Falling from grace is, I think, opposite of once saved, always saved. I think both expressions are unfortunate terminology. Well, falling from grace is, Paul answers it now in the rest of this chapter. He answers it in Romans. Paul in Romans begins with man in the place of total bankruptcy, no righteousness, completely depraved, unprofitable, rotten fruit, if you please. Man is a sinner before God. Now, at the conclusion of Romans, you see man in the service of God. He's asked to do certain things. He's admonished to perform certain things. And he's completely separated to God. He must be obedient to God. Man is a servant of God. Now, there are two mighty works of God stand between the man in his fallen condition and man in service to God. What are those? Salvation and sanctification. Now, salvation is justification by faith, as we've seen. And that is something that's all important. Now, sanctification means, now that you're saved, it doesn't mean get busy. It means simply this, that you're now coming up to a new plane of living. You are now been saved. I think the greatest fallacy of the Christian life is today that service is essential, that you must get busy immediately. You know, the early church was more concerned with its life, the life of the church, and that life was a witness to the world. And today we've forgotten that. The outside world is looking at the church and passing it by, and looking at many of us believers and passing us by. Why? Because, very frankly, we are always busy out yonder handing out tracts, buttoning whole people, and we don't have a life to back it up. We need today a life to back that up, and to know by experience these things. And rather than trying to do good, we ought to live good. And then if we are, then we're going to be doing good, if you please. I think there's more about sanctification in the Epistle to the Romans and in the Epistle to the Galatians than anything else. Now, how does God make a saved sinner good? Well, He's given a new nature. Now he can keep the law? Oh, no. Emphatically, no. He's called now to a higher plane. Now, this doesn't mean he breaks the law, but he's called to a higher plane. There's no good in the old nature. And Paul found that out. And he also found out there's no power in the new nature. He said, as to salvation, I know that in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. But he also found out in Romans, to will is present with me. And he cries out, as a saved man, O wretched man that I am, He's not afraid that he's going to lose his salvation. He's a defeated Christian. And God gives a new principle. And the new principle we're going to find here in this chapter is the fruit of the Spirit. Living the Christian life by this method, for some Christians, is as far-fetched as living on the moon. Never expect to live there. Never heard about it. Acknowledge the possibility. It's a theory. And I'm just talking here about life out yonder on a distant planet. May I say to you, this is the life he wants us to live by faith today. Saved by grace, we're to live by grace. We'll take that up next time.